Well, hey, good morning. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here at Blackhawk Church. It's great to be with you all this morning. Welcome to those worshiping with us online as well. Man, I love it. Here in the room, I'm like having to stop conversations because there's conversations happening and all that kind of stuff. But I want to invite you to stand if you're here with us in the room. Stand if you're able. We're going to sing some songs of worship as we begin our time together. Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise the Lord." And it goes on to say that he forgives our sins, he crowns us with love and compassion, and he raises us up out of the pit. So that's the God that we worship, that's who he is. So let's sing these songs together as we glorify him this morning.
Praise and treasures the faith never enough.
continue in worship, we're going to sing a new song, new for us here in this room. It's called A Million Times. And when I first heard the song a month or two ago, there was just something that really spoke to me. I latched on to this one. It's quickly become a family favorite of ours. It speaks to God's faithfulness and his goodness. Maybe not like right in this moment, because sometimes our circumstances, like it doesn't feel like these words that we're about to sing, but looking back on a season of life and just being able to see, even in the peaks and the valleys, that God was there and he was faithful. So as you get the hang of it, feel free to sing along as Taylor leads.
Some hard miles on shaky ground, but from the place that I am standing now, it's clear to see you were right there with me. All you've ever been, all you ever
again. I sure as the sun's coming.
grateful for your faithfulness and your goodness toward us. We respond just by worshiping you with gratitude this morning. We probably know this one well. Let's sing it out together, nice and loud.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do.
Let's sing this out.
So I throw up my
started the service with Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Let's sing this out nice and loud together. Come on, my soul.
So come on, my soul, don't you get shy.
Sounds good. We'll sing that again.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me.
Time I throw up my hands and praise him.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia.
Will you guys pray with me? Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this church community and the gift and the blessing that it is to be able to gather together and worship. God, I pray that these just wouldn't just be songs that we sing, but God, that these would be prayers that we really mean, and that they would form us in the way that you desire. God, I pray that as Pastor Chris comes up to teach, God, that we would open our hearts and we would really receive the message that you have for us, and that it wouldn't just be a nice message and a good thing that someone needs to hear, but God, this would be a message for us, and that this would be a message that changes the way that we see you and we see the world, and it would just move us beyond just here. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Blackhawk Church this morning. My name is Joel. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors on staff. Yeah, go ahead and grab your seats here in the room. If you're joining us online, welcome to you. We're so glad you're part of our community. And if you're new here at Blackhawk, a special welcome to you today as well. I know there's a lot of different reasons people end up in Madison or end up finding Blackhawk, and so summer months is often some of the time when new folks are gathering with us. So if that's you, welcome. We'd love for you to stop out at our Next Steps area straight outside those doors after the service and say hello. We have a little gift for you, something small, but just a way to say we're glad you're here, we're glad you're connecting into faith community with us. So here at Blackhawk, we believe everyone's on a spiritual journey, and we love helping people find next steps in that journey. So you can all stop out. Anyone can stop out at Next Steps at any point. They'd be glad to kind of help you find what that might be for you. Hey, over the course of the summer, we have a ton of opportunities to connect and to make relationships, get to know people who are part of our Blackhawk community. And so you can check all that out on our summer page, on our website. Scan the QR code, it'll take you right there, or just go to blackhawk.church/summer. And that's the kind of hub for all the different things going on through the course of the summer. One that I want to point out for those of you here in our Blackhawk community, or again, if you're joining us online and you're near Madison somewhere, this might be an opportunity for you. Next Sunday, after our morning services, we're holding picnics in a bunch of different neighborhoods in some of the surrounding communities around Madison. So Wanakee, Middleton, Mount Horeb, West Madison are some of those locations. You can jump on the website to find out what one is closest to where you are. You can RSVP. This will be potluck style, and so you can RSVP and bring something. And it's a great chance for you to get to know people who call Blackhawk home, but who might be part of your neighborhood, if that's one of your neighborhoods. So would love for you to check that out. That's a great opportunity next Sunday to connect with folks who are part of our Blackhawk family. All right, well, this fall, we've got some internship opportunities coming up. If you've ever considered ministry as a vocation and you're not really sure what it's like, this is a great opportunity. We have intro internships that are part-time. They're semester-long opportunities to get to know your gifting and kind of your wiring and whether ministry is a good fit for you. And so there's a deadline coming up for fall internships, July 15th. So jump on there, fill out an application, and you can learn more on our website about all of that. All right, and then one update I want to give you guys today. Over the last few months, we've been talking about Project Tech. And Project Tech is something we see as mission critical for us. It's going to be updating some of our aging tech systems, getting security cameras in B-Kids spaces, investing in solutions for language translation and hearing loss, and then being able to have more opportunities and more options as we live stream services or a lot of the different events that happen, not just in this room, but in some of our different venues here at Braderway and different sites. And so we're hoping to be able to make a pretty big update to a lot of our tech infrastructure. We've been talking about that. And so to date, we have raised $2.8 million of the $3.5 million target. That's committed, I should say, $2.8 million. So yeah, that is awesome. Thank you. Thank you, thank you to all of you who have made that a reality for us. You've made intentions to let us know what you plan to give, or you've already made gifts. That is huge, and so we're getting closer to our goal. We're continuing to make plans, so at this point in time, we're still in design, but for a few more weeks, we're going to be doing design work, and then in the few weeks, we'll transition into install contracts, which will mean scheduling the work, putting down payments down, all that kind of stuff. a lot of the work, some of it might happen this fall yet, and so we plan on that. A lot of the work is going to take place early in 2025, hoping to wrap up most of the install work by late spring of next year. So if this is something you have known about but just haven't made time for or haven't had a chance to jump on and make an intention or to start giving, we would love for you to help us kind of get over the finish line of that. That'll give us more options as we finish design. And you can do that right on the Project Tech page of our website. You can learn more there. You can start intentions or giving at that point. So thank you again to all of you who have made that a reality so far, and thanks for considering that today. All right, well, we are in our parable series for the summer, and so we get to hear from Pastor Chris today, so I'm going to hand it off to him.
All right, welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk. Welcome to those of you in the room with me right here at the Brader Way site. Welcome to those of you who are watching on a screen at Blackhawk downtown at the Upper House, and those of you perhaps at Blackhawk Fitchburg, or those of you at one of the different venues that we have here at Brader Way, those of you in Traditions or the Gospel Fusion venue. And welcome to all of you who are online, who you may be in Seattle or Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Pennsylvania, or you might be in Baraboo. So, hey, welcome to Blackhawk Church. Well, hey, we're in the first days officially of summer. How you guys doing? Yeah, doing good? I'm doing really good because I just got back from my annual vacation about a week ago where I go canoeing and fishing in the Canadian wilderness called the Quetico. Quetico is a provincial park that's about the size of Rhode Island in Ontario, and it's got 600 lakes, and I go there about every year. I've been going there almost 25 years in a row since 1999, and I just got back. Would you like to see some vacation pictures? It doesn't matter. I'm going to show them to you anyway. Here you go. So I went with seven guys, six other guys. So here's their names. Ethan Parrish is holding the phone, or the camera. And then that old guy next to him, that's me. Man, I look old. But the guy next to me looks even older. That's a guy named Rick. And then Kyle's next to him, a guy named Noah, Will, and then Greg is on the end. Man, we made a good team. It was a great, great trip. Rick and I have been going about 25 years. This is the first year that we went without our great friend, Steve Rogers. Steve passed away from pancreatic cancer about a year ago, so there was all kinds of mixed emotions as we were going to this place. Steve and Rick and I, if we had our way, we would always want to go to this lake right here. It's called Canipi. And Canipi is a fantastic lake in the wilderness. Steve used to say Canipi is Ojibwa for fish here. It's not really, doesn't mean that, but Steve's a funny guy, and so that's what we always said, fish here. And man, when you fish at Canipi, it's unbelievable. That's just a part of the lake. The lake's actually much, much bigger than that. We didn't see anybody on the lake, no canoes, no people for three whole days. That's why we go to the Quetico in June. It's a great, great time. The black flies were also out in June. I'm canoeing with my partner, Greg. We canoed over 80 miles in the Quetico. It's a wonderful, wonderful trip, and Greg did a good job being in the front. That's where all the power comes from. He just gets yelled at by me through the whole trip. Did we catch fish? Thanks for asking. Yeah, we caught fish. Here's a picture of me with a small walleye. The walleye is sometimes we're like jumping into the boat. We like to had to keep them out of the boat. We had fish galore. One day we had three fish dinners in one day. So it's just amazing. And at night, the stars are bright. So Ethan took this picture, and I'm telling you, man, it was really good. However, because of the time of year, we had to wait till like 12 o'clock at night before the stars really started coming out and it really got dark. I love the Quetico trip. I mean, there's not hardly anything I don't love about that trip. There's a million things I love about that trip. One of the things I love about the trip is that when we go to the wilderness, we like disconnect. So there's no cell phone service, obviously, up there. There's no internet. We're completely unattached from everything else. Our cell phones now have that little function where you can push SOS if you get into trouble, so that's a nice thing. But other than that, it's just fantastic to disconnect for an entire week. That means no news. I don't know about you, but I just heard somebody say amen. Yeah, amen. To me, when I watch the news, get ready to be discouraged. I mean, to me, watching the news is just so discouraging and so depressing. I mean, it's about wars, it's about school shootings, it's about politics, it's about whatever. Whenever I sit down and watch the news, local or national news, I mean, something's on there. It's like, it just gets you down so much. People who deliver the news, I don't see how they stay sane. You know, I've told this story before, but the guy that discipled me when I was in college was a journalist for the paper in the little town that we lived in, Terre Haute, Indiana. His name is Mike. And one day, Mike and I were having a Bible study together, and I could tell Mike was really down. And I said, like, what's wrong? And he said, well, last night there was a murder here in Terre Haute, and I had to go to the house and cover it, and it's just grisly. And, of course, he wrote the story about it. People who deliver the news on a regular basis, there's trauma involved. When you just think about, can you imagine being in their world? And Mike was traumatized by just that murder that he saw. Didn't come across in the story. Professional journalists are professional journalists, and they just deliver the news. Makes me think of this. You know, we have a number of journalists in our church, and that's what they do. They deliver the news. Doesn't matter what media it is, sometimes on TV, radio, print journalism. Can we just give those people a round of applause right now? We're doing a good job. It's a hard job, and they do a good job of delivering really depressing things over and over again. The other day, I was watching the news, and it just was so depressing. And it just got so depressing, I decided that I would just get up, stop watching it, and go to the refrigerator. How many of you, show of hands, how many of you just say, when you watch the news, it's like, ugh, it's depressing? Show of hands. All sites and venues, yeah. How many of you get up and go to the refrigerator, right? No, don't, you don't have to do that. How does Jesus want us to respond? When we're part of this world, when we watch things on the news that are just, and we feel hopeless, we feel like we have no power to make a difference, what does Jesus want us to do? Go to the refrigerator? Yeah, I think I have an idea about what he would say to us as we watch one injustice after another, one disaster after another. I think I have an idea of how he would want us to respond when we feel so helpless. Because one day he spun a story. He made up a tale about a woman who had no power, but she kept on demanding justice. I think we can learn something from a widow who's persistent and didn't stop until justice happened. We're going to look at a parable today in Luke chapter 18, and it's going to help us the next time we watch the news. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. We are in our series on the parables of Jesus. We're halfway through the series. This is number 5 in that series. Today we're going to be looking at the parable of the persistent widow, Luke 18, 1 through 8. I love this parable. Here we go. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Love this parable. Woo. One of the reasons I love this parable is that we don't have to wonder why Jesus is delivering the parable, because Luke uncharacteristically actually adds a little editorial comment of why Jesus is telling us this parable. That's in the first verse. Did you see that? Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's what the parable's about. Okay, let's pray and go home. That's what it's about right there. That we should always pray and not give up. There's two main characters in the parable. It's not hard to figure out who they are. First one is the judge. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. That's the main idea. Later in the parable, he refers to the judge as an unjust judge. The judge didn't care about people at all. He doesn't care about God. He's a jerk, basically. He just doesn't care. And he's a very powerful man. He's a judge, but he didn't care. Whatever. Care about justice? No, he doesn't care about that at all. And then there is the widow. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. So when we see the word widow, we automatically think that she's older. But there's nothing in the text that says she's older. That's just our imagination. I mean, in Jesus' day, a girl would be betrothed between the ages of 13 and 15. So she could be, as far as we know, a teenager of 18, 19 years old, and her husband died. So she becomes a widow. Or she could be old. We just don't know her age. But what we do know is that she's powerless. Because in that day, if you wanted to tell a story about someone who had no power, you'd tell a story about an orphan or a widow. They had no power. It's a patriarchal world. Men ruled everything. So she has no man to plead for her. She is a powerless woman in a patriarchal world. So she has no power. That's the key thing. A point of the parable is the effect that she has on this powerful judge. She keeps coming to him time after time after time after time after time, pleading for justice. So then Jesus, as he spins his little story, he makes up a thing about the judge just has a conversation with himself. Here's what the judge says. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, again, Jesus is just making this up. Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Jesus says he's making up this parable. He's just trying to help us to see this woman just pray. Came and came and came and came. She never gives up. She has no power, but she does not give up. She just keeps coming up. There's some injustice. We're not told what it is. There's some injustice that's happening, and she just keeps pleading her case. And then he gives us the application. It's the next verse. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God, so now he enters the third character, which is God. This is the contrast. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? There are two questions in verse 7. They demand an answer, and Jesus doesn't give the answer. Will not God bring about justice for the chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? That's the first question. Will he keep putting them off? That's the second question. First question demands a yes. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him? See, he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. This is, you got this judge who doesn't care about anybody and fear God, didn't care about people, didn't care about justice. Well, he finally goes, yeah, man, I gotta bring justice to this woman. So if it's that guy, what about God who's righteous and just? Will he not? And the answer is yes. Will he keep putting them off? And the answer is no. No, he won't. God will see that justice happens. And then something weird happens. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, that doesn't seem to fit, doesn't it? Does that seem to fit? Like, all of a sudden, he's talking about the Son of Man coming. And then we find faith on the earth. You think it and they're like, well, will he find people praying? Does he find faith on the earth? Do people believe anymore? And when you're reading the parables, here's a tip. When you read the parables and you find something in the parable that doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the parable, that's probably the key to the parable. Just saying. Because this clues us as to the context of why Jesus is telling them that they should pray and not give up. Because it's all about the coming of the Son of Man. The first verse cues us to that, and the way I read it, I tried to help you see that. Then Jesus told them a parable. You should always pray and not give up. That then clues the reader. Oh. What's before that? And that's about the coming of the Son of Man. Let me stop for a second. How you guys doing? So a typical way of reading this parable is that Jesus is telling us that we should always pray and not give up on pretty much everything. You have a friend that has cancer, you should keep praying for them. You have a boss that you don't like, you should keep praying. Situation changes. You have anything that's going on in your life that you just keep praying and praying. Be like the persistent widow. Pray. Now, there's plenty of verses in the Bible that say we should just keep praying all the time. All that. Good. But that's not what this parable is actually about. This prayer and this parable is about the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus makes that real clear at the end. when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So pray for your friends that have cancer. Pray for situations that are, yes, go ahead and do that. But this parable is about being persistent, that God would bring the great reversal, that there would be ultimate justice on this planet. Does his people still believe that? That's what this parable is about. We go back to chapter 17. We look at the context. 17, verse 20. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." So, you know, this is to the Pharisees. It's basically the king is, I'm saying basically, the king is here, so the kingdom of God is here. And then he says to his disciples, he switches the audience, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it." See that? He's telling his disciples, yeah, there's going to be a gap between my coming and the coming of the Son of Man. "People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running after them, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end of the earth to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by his generation." Now, to those people, when he talks about the Son of Man coming in lightning, it's like a hyperlink to them, to Hebrew prophecies about the coming of the Son of Man. One of those could have been in the book of Daniel. We go back, hyperlink, click on Daniel, and we would read something like this. "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." This is a prophecy about the ultimate reversal. This is about when there will be ultimate justice. Everyone everywhere will experience justice at the coming of the Son of Man. Somebody, please say amen. This is a part of the gospel. See, that Jesus will be coming back. And when he comes back, whoa, it's not going to be a mystery. Everybody will know. It becomes sudden, and it will be, he'll come with great destruction. Back to Luke 17. "It was just that way in the days of Noah, so also will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in days of Lot. People were eating and drinking and buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed." When he comes, it will become great destruction. It will bring justice to the earth. At the end of Luke 17, we read this. "I tell you that on that night, two people will be in one bed, and one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together, and one will be taken, the other left." "Where, Lord?" they asked. He replied, "Where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather." Then Jesus told them a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. This is about the coming of the Son of Man. When he comes, there'll be great destruction on the earth. Where the where there's a dead body, there the vultures will gather. That's a quote from Jesus. I don't see that quote from Jesus on many Hallmark cards very much. You know, you just don't. Here's my favorite quote: "Where the dead body." You know, you don't see that. two questions linger in our mind over this parable. Here's the first question. Will ultimate justice ever take place? Will ultimate justice ever take place? Go back to the parable and we see the answer. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Answer, when I do this, you can participate in the message. Will he keep putting them off? No, no, no. That's okay. You can say, we forgive you here. That's okay. Yeah. Hey, church. Hey, people of God. Hey, okay. You belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I can tell you the way everything is going to end, or a new beginning is going to happen. And there's going to be justice on this earth. There will be no more wars. There'll be no more pain, no more crying, because the Son of Man is coming back. The Son of Man is coming back. And it's going to be a brand new day, brand new day. Well, that's hard to believe, isn't it? Because it's still only... You just watch the news all the time. It's just, it's hard to believe. This world's a mess. It's a mess. And it's been 2,000 years? Why is it taking so long? Well, probably the best answer to that is found in 2 Peter. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. So 2,000 years be like thinking about what happened to you on Friday, not that long ago from the Lord's perspective. Yahweh doesn't relate to time the way we relate to time. That's what the verse is saying. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to you. He's holding off because he wants more and more people to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's why he's holding off. That's a good reason, actually. Second question that lingers over the parable is this. Will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? Will he find faith when he returns? Or will he just find people who are depressed and discouraged and think it's never going to get better? I'm not very good at this one because I lose faith a lot. And it happens when I watch the evening news. Just a couple weeks ago, I was watching about the horrors of what's going on in the Sudan right now. You know what's going on in the Sudan, right? Here's where the Sudan is. 46 million people there. It's the number of people live in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Indiana, and Illinois. It's about 46 million people. It's a failed state. It's just disaster and death and destruction. Khartoum, the capital, is just a complete mess. I read this about the children in Sudan. 4 million children have been displaced. That is 13,000 children every single day for 300 days. Safety gone, worldly possessions gone, friends and family members separated or lost. Hope is fading. 13,000 children a day. That's about the number of people who live in Stoughton every day. It's like a little town of Stoughton filled with children. They lose their homes in the Sudan right now. Right now. You could take your phones out and Google humanitarian disasters, and Sudan might be at the top. Maybe Gaza will be up there. Somalia might be up. Syria might be up there. I don't know. Depends on where you go. But the amount of destruction and catastrophic evil that is happening in our world is unfathomable. It's unfathomable. So I watch this, and I just like, ugh, ugh. And, you know, the pictures, ugh, jeez. So then it's over. And then there's a commercial about the fact that I should buy a new car. 13,000 children today lost their homes in the Sudan. Hey, you should buy a new car. Hey, it's just. So I get up and go to the refrigerator. This is a 24/7 news cycle. See what I'm saying about praying for people to deliver the news? It's trauma involved. If you listen to the stories, it's horrible. And what should we do? Well, when we see injustice and we are so depressed and we think, what can I possibly do sitting on my couch when 13,000 children a day in Khartoum are being displaced? I have no power. And when you start to believe that you have no power, now you're ready to read the parable. Now you're ready for the parable. Jesus says, let me tell you a story about a woman who had absolutely no power, but she did not give up. She did not give up. And how will God respond to his people who come to him and pray? But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Or just a bunch of people who are discouraged and don't really believe he's coming back? So how should we respond? We should pray. We thought on the teaching team that we should just put up a bunch of injustices up here, and we thought about all kinds of phrases we could put up, but sure, as soon as we did that, we'd forget some phrases, and that's a stack of emails. So then we thought, well, let's just put up countries. And there's about 200 countries in the world, so that didn't take too long. I just decided that I would just start training us for watching the news. So here's a little training hour. So I'm going to put up the name of a country, and they're going to pray a prayer. Well, what's a good prayer to pray? We should pray something everybody knows. It's a prayer for justice. How about this prayer? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's about the coming of the kingdom. Ultimately, it's about the coming of the Son of Man. So, you see something that's discouraging and depressing, and there's just nothing but injustice, pray that prayer. So we're going to practice, okay? So I'm going to put up the name of a country. All people, all sites, all venues, those of you who are at home, pray this prayer. So here you go. Sudan, and the church prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You guys get that? That's the way it's going to go. Next country, Somalia, and the church prayed, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Afghanistan, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yemen, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Syria, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. North Korea, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. China, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Israel, Palestine, Gaza, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mexico, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Ukraine, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Russia, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. India, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The United States, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wisconsin, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Madison and Dane County, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pastor Chris, are you saying that's all we should do is pray? No. Welcome to Blackhawk. I mean, we're in Blackhawk. We talk about love your neighbor as yourself all the time. All kinds of passages in the Bible talk about fact that we should get involved in the world. That's not what this parable is about. This parable is about praying for ultimate justice. We get involved in the world, we can bring justice, but not the ultimate kind that the Son of Man will be bringing. But yes, we should be involved in the world. Here's a website you can go to learn more about Somalia and Sudan and India and all kinds of things, world relief. Also, when there's disasters that are taking place in the world, like what's happening in Sudan right now, we usually put those on our website. So you can go to Black Hawk Church, our response. And no, you can't read this, but we give you prayer prompts and things like that. And for this one, there's something you can click on in Sudan. And then you can just give to help what's going on in Sudan. I think it's Doctors Without Borders and Save the Children. Don't give money to Black Hawk. Give money to organizations that are directly on the ground helping those people in those situations. So yes, yes, there's more you can do than pray. But when you watch about this injustice, don't just tune out. Be like the widow and pray, 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 pray. I'm going to invite the worship team up to the platform right now. All sites and venues, worship teams are gonna come up now. And I just want to tell you guys that you should pray. This has been a little training for as you watch the news. We're on a digital platform. Doesn't matter what platform you're on. We're on the winning team here, you guys. And the King is coming back. And when he comes back, he will bring justice. This world does not belong to Satan. It belongs to our God. And he intends this world to be a completely different kind of place. The battle is not over. The Son of Man will come back, and he will establish righteousness and peace and justice on this earth. Justice that we cannot fathom. And there will be no more wars. There will be no more destruction. And King Jesus will be ruling on this planet. Does the church believe that? Yes. Jesus is coming back. Does the church believe that? Yes. Is it just going to end in awful destruction? No. It's going to be great and powerful because Jesus is coming back and he is going to establish his kingdom on this planet. We are on his team. Don't be discouraged. And when he comes back, it's not the end of things. It's the beginning of a brand new world, a brand new beginning. Because we believe what we say at Christmas from Isaiah 9, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Somebody say amen. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of Yahweh Almighty will accomplish this. And God's church said, amen. Amen.
Sing with us if you're able.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. Father's world. The birds, their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. My Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the
what a great reminder today that the battle is not done. Amen? Amen. We are called to be people of faith, ultimately people who have hope in this world that sometimes feels hopeless. Amen? As you go today, just a couple reminders. Don't forget about some of the community picnics happening next week. Jump on our website, find out more about those. Chris, Pastor Chris will be out in the atrium if you want to connect with him or talk with him. He'll be out there. And each week we have folks who are up here, part of our prayer teams, who would love to be able to just talk with you or pray with you. If you have something that's on your heart right now, whether it's for yourself or whether it's for someone you love, and you want a chance to just have someone pray over you, it's such an encouragement. Just invite you, stop up here. I'll be up here. Some of the folks on our prayer team will be up here to do that with you today. As we think about being people of faith, ultimately people of hope, let me send you with these words from Romans chapter 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. All God's people said, amen. Have a great Sunday.